And welcome to the End Time Show for our End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. This podcast will be doing a special teaching called Pharmakia, the Increase in Devilish Knowledge in the Last Days. We just want to touch up on this because we're definitely living in the last minutes of the last days. And we just want to touch up on how Pharmakia has really impacted society, especially those that are within the elite and those that are intellectuals, how Pharmakia has aided them in obtaining demonic, devilish knowledge and wisdom. So first of all, let's go to the scripture. I'm going to go over to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, which talks about the increase of knowledge in the last day. So it'll be an increase of knowledge, both good and evil. But let's go ahead and read the scripture. It states, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." So just basically want to touch upon this. We've seen since the 20th century, just a leap in knowledge and technology has taken place for several reasons. Before the turn of the century, there was a spiritual revival that's taking place in Christianity, but also too, there's a spiritual revival that's taking place in the demonic world. Spiritualism started to become more popular. You see the rise of H.P. Blavatsky, with theosophy and other things and all, which people begin to, the West begin to embrace Eastern philosophy, Eastern religion. And we also see with the Nazis, with Adolf Hitler and his Nazis party, were very much deeply involved in the occult. And Hitler also did drugs and other things and all, which he was channeling messages straight from Lucifer. But we kind of see how the Nazis used occult, mixed the occult and science mixed together, which we see in the Marvel movies where Thor always says, well, you know, what you call science is actually magic. We see the blending of the two coming back together right before, I want to say, the Enlightenment age, where it wasn't it eventually divided into the sciences, became the sciences, and the occult became the occult that divided the two. But we see an explosion in knowledge. And also, too, we can look at Ron L. Hubbard and some of the things that him and Parsons did with the sex magic and different things that they were doing. Parsons was the founder of JPL, which he was one of the main people that really took the space program here in the country to another level with his a mixture of the occult and science. So we see that becoming more and more prevalent. So we want to dive in it. We want to dive into past within the scriptures, and then we want to see what's happened in recent past and also what's presently taking place. So when we look at Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, it says, "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." So there is definitely a connection to the use of drugs and sexual morality and the occult. We see the occult explosion take place in the 1960s. It wasn't just by accident that this took place. We see most of the people that formulated the Cultural Revolution, Timothy Leary, Robert Anton Wilson, and just several others were heavily involved in the occult and Satanism. And we see the connection of this. and people using drugs as a mind expanding drug to get it in contact with demonic spirits. And we also see the connotation of the result of people like Larry and some other people embrace paganism and the spirit of Antichrist. So it's definitely something at work behind that. And we see this when the Great Tribulation is taking place, that mankind's heart is so hardened, so wicked, it's hardened against serving God and a rejection of Jesus Christ, that even though under judgment, they'll still continue to worship demons, they'll continue to do sorceries, they'll continue to do their drugs and other things and all, and their sexual immorality. So let's look at several words in regards to pharmakia is one. Strong's Concordance says it's medication, pharmacy, the example of magic, sorcery, witchcraft. Pharmakias is another one. It's pharmakon is a drug or spell-given potion or a druggist or a poisoner or a magician or a sorcerer. And pharmakios is the same as sorcerer. So you have people who take these psychedelic drugs to expand their mind or involved in sorcery. So they're making contact with these beings. They're obtaining certain knowledge and all because they think they're expanding their conscience. They think it's causing them to be more creative, but in essence, they're being duped by the enemy. So we have to just further look to expose the powers of darkness that's hidden behind this. So also when we look at sorcery, we look at this from the Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words. Pharmakia is primarily signified the use of medicine, drugs, spells, poisoning, and sorcery. We can see this in Galatians 5 and 20. The sorcery is associated with witchcraft. Sorcery is also used drugs, rather simple or potent, was generally accompanied by incantations, appeals to occult powers with the provision of various charms and amulets. So again, we see that pharmakia in regards to the use of drugs, people use it to alter conscience and go into a trance and receive information from what they think is their subconscious mind. It's definitely from the demonic and demonic realm. So when we look, we have to look at ancient musicians and the use of drugs to acquire knowledge. In places like Egypt and ancient Babylonian royal courts, musicians act as pharaoh or king's advisors. In order to acquire supernatural knowledge and wisdom, the musician would use psychedelic drugs to contact the spirit world to obtain knowledge to aid the pharaoh or the king. So we see prime examples of which we'll look into back when Joseph was in the land of Egypt and he was in prison and he's beckoned by Pharaoh. He's summoned by Pharaoh because the astrologers and the magicians could not answer the question that he had about the dream that he had. And then also too, we'll look at throughout the book of Daniel, that Daniel and his three friends were endowed by the Spirit of God versus the physicians there in Babylon. So the Greek word epano is for drug using physicians. So the word epano is similar to the English word physician, which can refer to a musician who uses drugs or not depending on the context. And it's symptuage. That's the Greek version of Greek translation of the Old Testament. Epano refers to a musician who uses drugs 11 times in at least 11 verses. So when we look at the Hebrew word for physician, it's hatorm. Hatorm is the Hebrew word for a drug-using physician or pharmakai, those who use drugs for the magical end. So we see epano and hatorm, epano for the Greek word for drug-using physician, and we see the Hebrew word hatorm, the drug using, for a drug using physician. So these musicians, they just wasn't like something hocus pocus and pulling rabbits out of a hat and some other things and all. They're deeply involved in the occult and, occult or esoteric knowledge and all, and the use of psychedelic drugs to expand their minds, to open themselves up to the spirit world, to receive forbidden knowledge that God did not endorse. Instead of seeking the Lord and the will of God, and God is a giver to them that inquire them, long as they have a right, righteous motives and all, they use their platform and they use the quote unquote gift that was ushered in through the demonic world to aid the kings, and not just in ancient Egypt and Babylon, but it's found throughout any ancient culture, even with shamans and other things and all, the use of drugs to go in a drug-induced trance to acquire satanic, demonic information. Let's go ahead and go to the scripture, because I want to show the difference between the righteous and the world system, the evil people part of Satan's kingdom. So Joseph versus the musicians. So when we look at Genesis chapter 41, verse 8 through 13, it says, "Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and he called for all the musicians of Egypt and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none who could interpret them for Pharaoh." So here we see that Pharaoh has his dream. We see that the musicians are incorporated with along all the wise men of Egypt to interpret the dream. So they couldn't interpret it. So when we look at verse 9, it says, "The chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. And when Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had dreamed one night, and he and I, and each one of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dream for us. To each he made interpreting according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened, he restored my office and he hanged him." So here we see that Joseph, although hated by his brothers, they wanted to kill him. They eventually sold him into slavery. It's down in Egypt. He goes through the process of really raising up Potiphar's house. Spirit of excellence is up on him. And he's falsely accused of raping Potiphar's wife. Man had integrity. He goes to prison. He begins to prosper, but he's gifted and he has a prophetic gift, and he's able to interpret dreams because it's through the Spirit of God is able to give him this knowledge. So we see that the chief baker remembers that, and he tells Pharaoh, like, I know this guy, even though the musicians in your court can answer it, so beckon for him. So when we go over to Genesis 41, verse 24, it says, and a thin heads devour the seven good heads. So I told this to the musicians, but there was no one who can explain it to me. So we drop down verse 24. In between that time, we see that Pharaoh is telling he's telling Joseph about the dream. So Joseph is listening to everything that the Pharaoh has to say, and the Spirit of God gives him the interpretation of the dream, and it's able to benefit Egypt, and not just Egypt, the known world at that time, because a famine had took place. So we drop down to verse Genesis 41, verse 37 through 39. It says, so advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in as much as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. So the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, that God is able to give us all wisdom and all knowledge. The devil, people in the kingdom of darkness seek this demonic wisdom and demonic knowledge. It's nothing compared to what a great God that we serve. So when we go down to Daniel, and we look at Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah versus the musicians there in the king's court, or King Nebuchadnezzar, we see a difference also too, just like we do with Joseph. So when we look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, it says, in all manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them, which means Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I'm going by the Hebrew names, not by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their slave or their Babylonian names. But he found them 10 times better than all the musicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. So these four young men were endowed by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God gave them wisdom. They didn't eat the meat and other stuff that was presented from them from the king. They didn't eat the things of the pagans, but they stuck to their certain dietary laws and just other stuff. They stuck to the Word of God, and the Word of God they were able to bring God honor and glory. They didn't compromise and say, you know what, we may die, let's go ahead and just compromise to appease the king. But with that being said, that they were not just one time or two times better than those who were occult practitioners, who these musicians who used drugs to induce their conscience to expand, to obtain wisdom and knowledge. But they were 10 times better, and they didn't have to put themselves through that, because the Spirit of God was downloading, and they were submitted to the Word, and they were being led by the Spirit. So when we look at Epano and Hortorum found in both Genesis 41 and in Daniel chapter 1 and 20, we can look and see Hortorum is found in Genesis chapter 41, verse 8 and verse 24 for drug using magic in a musician. And then we see in Daniel 1 and 20, the Greek word Epano is also shown for drug using magic musician. So we have to keep in mind the prime examples when we see with both Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and with Joseph. A key verse I like to share, even with this day, because God is the same God back then, and even now. But we have to just realize this in this day and time. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So we have to keep in mind that the Holy Spirit resides in us, and we're children of God, and we're able to overcome the children of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, because we're greater than them that's in the world. So we see the example of Joseph and Daniel. Joseph in Egypt, Daniel in Babylon. They did not compromise themselves to the ways of the world. Or we need to compromise and be more relevant for the world. They stuck to the word, and even though they might have been hated for righteousness' sake, when it came down to the nitty-gritty, that God raised them to prominence, and they were able to give God honor and glory. They didn't sin against God. They were confident in their relationship with God, and God was able to raise them up. When we look at John 16, verse 13, it says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So the Holy Spirit, when you receive salvation and you're born again of the water and the Spirit, and you're endowed with the Holy Spirit, it says, not only he won't lead and guide you into some truth, but he will lead and guide you into all truth, all truth. So we see the limitations of the musicians in Egypt with Joseph. We see the limitations of the musicians in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar compared to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The depth of knowledge that they had was the Spirit of God was able to guide them into all truth. So even with Joseph, those musicians could not even interpret the dream, but he sought the Lord, and the Lord was able to guide him and interpret the dream that was supernatural. So there's a supernatural side that even within Christianity in context, I don't mean going way off where people go into some crazy doctrine about spiritual things and all, but in the context where God still does move supernaturally, but we have to base that and judge that by the Word of God and not get off in wild doctrine and just say every supernatural thing is a sign to God. We have to test the Spirit. So when we look at Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, which is a very important scripture, it says, "That which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun." So there's nothing new under the sun, which we're about ready to examine what happened during the ancient times with the use of drugs to expand the mind, to acquire devilish, demonic knowledge. It's still taking place in this day and time. So we have to be able to identify and be able to discern the days and times that we're living in. So we're going to transition, and we're going to move into modern day 20th and 21st century physicians and sorcery. And we're going to look at some people that you wouldn't even suspect that you would call a sorcerer. There's many methods and many levels of sorcery. And we look at some of the Marvel movies, and we look at Doctor Strange, which does promote the occult. Him doing the mandalas, the different occult symbols and stuff with his hands and the other things and all, but there's other things and all where there's starting to become a revival that almost is gonna, which I believe is gonna surpass the 1960s, where you saw the drug guru, Timothy Leary, really promote and push drugs, which Timothy Leary was prescribed and a disciple of Aleister Crowley, which Crowley set the tone for the 60s with the music and with the drugs and with the sex was all intertwined within Aleister Crowley and a satanic agenda that took place, which is another lesson in itself at a later date that we can talk about. So let's look at some individuals who've used drugs or pharmakia to obtain knowledge. So we look at Francis Crick. He's a Nobel-winning father of modern genetics, and he was under the influence of the drug LSD when he first deduced the double helix structure of the DNA nearly 50 years ago. Crick told the fellow scientists that he will often use small doses of LSD and experimental drug use and psychotherapy to boost his power of thought. He said that it was LSD and not the ego-worn beard that helped him to unravel the structure of DNA. The discovery that he won him the Nobel Peace Prize, Crick saw the vision of the two serpents intertwined together, and that made the DNA is made up to two strands that wind up together. This symbol of the two serpents intertwined is depicted on every ancient culture, the catechus, the staff of Hermes, the rod staff of Acephalus, are similar to the symbols and the structure of the DNA. So it's ironically how Francis Crick was using LSD, and it began to give him this devilish wisdom of DNA. And ironically, of all the symbols to symbolize DNA, the serpent, which we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we see the serpent in the garden. We go over to Revelation 12, it talks about the serpent is now the dragon. So, and within ancient cultures anyway, the serpent is seen as a creature of wisdom throughout many, many, many ancient civilizations and cultures. The serpent is revered as a hero and a symbol of wisdom. So there's no accident by Francis Crick doing drugs and obtaining this information. Now, we all know the iPhone and Apple with Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, arguably the most revered pioneer in the personal computer revolution, was once has stated that he had experimented with LSD in the 60s. And at least two or three most important things had done in his life. Jobs went on to credit his LSD experience with opening up his mind and enabling him to see the world in a different light. He also released, it's also released in documents by the Department of Defense, more information about Jobs and his eye-opening drug use. He credits his drug use helping his creativity within him. And Jobs, it also states that Jobs smoked marijuana and hashish, explaining the impetus behind his marijuana use. Jobs said it helped him relax and made him more creative. So we just don't find this within the technology world. We find this even within the music world, just in within an entertainment. We see musicians who use drugs. I believe we did something years ago, or in regards to Lady Gaga, how Lady Gaga, when she writes her music lyrics, she smokes weed and she uses alcohol. That's a way of getting into an altered state, a conscious where you can obtain devilish demonic information. And Crawley, in his books and writings, talks about several different things, using strange drugs and alcohol. And he makes that assessment that is obtained by the serpent. So we know where this knowledge and all these things are coming from. It's coming from the demonic realm. So it's no accident. Also, too, one of the first computers that Steve Jobs started, him and Apple started selling, the price on that computer was $666, which, you know, this man was deeply, heavily involved in Eastern philosophy and all. And it's just, again, another connection when people begin to start using these psychedelics and these mind-altering drugs. They begin to connect to Eastern philosophy, Eastern religion, and they become very hostile to Christianity, and they take on the spirit of Antichrist. Now we have even Bill Gates. Bill Gates had experimented with LSD in an interview with Playboy magazine. Gates has admitted using LSD during his youth. Then we go to writer and philosopher Aldous Huxley. Huxley definitely had an influence in the 1960s counter-revolution, even though a lot of things, he kind of was like a mentor and other things and all like that, even to Timothy Leary. But he expresses how LSD really helped him. So Huxley used mescaline and LSD. He took them to contact his God, which he referred to as mind at large. And he made contact with mind at large so that he can see like an artist and like a philosopher and feel like a mystic and write best-selling books. So here we see a man, which in the future, we're going to do a complete series on Pharmakia in the Last Days and really talk about how Huxley influenced Leary and some other things and all, and how things came to play in the 60s where it really initiated it just wasn't a counterculture revolution, it was a counter-spiritual revolution that took place to upheave Judeo-Christianity and really promote paganism and the occult and Satanism. Now here we have Cary Banks Mullis. He was a Nobel Peace Prize winning American biochemist and author and lecturer. In his recognition of his improvement of polymerase chain reaction, or PCR technique, He shared the 1993 Nobel Prize in Chemistry, and the improvements made by Mullis allowed PCR to become a central technique in biochemistry and molecular biology. He described by the New York Times as a highly original and significant, virtually dividing biology into two epochs of before PCR and after PCR. The secret to Mullis' breakthrough is this. In September of 1994, issue of California Monthly, Mullis said that he took plenty of LSD in the 60s and 70s, and going so far as to call his mind-opening experimentation with psychedelics much more important than any course he ever took. Mullis once told the California Monthly that he took plenty of LSD. So here you have, these aren't just people that are using these psychedelics that are out in the street or homeless or anything. These are like high power intellectuals, scientists, people that are involved in technology, people that are writers and philosophers and all, people that really impacted the 20th century and the 21st century, even this century, that were involved in pharmakia and sorcery in regards to enhance the wisdom and knowledge. And it didn't come from God. It came from the demonic realm. Even though it benefited some people, the source of it didn't come from the Almighty God. So now we fast forward what's taking place in Silicon Valley. We see microdosing and LSD. This is the title of an article that was done by the Independent called in the United Kingdom. And the title of the article was "Microdosing LSD is not just a Silicon Valley trend. It is spreading to other workplaces." And I'm going to quote some things within the article that make sense of this, because again, it all connects what we've seen with Jobs and Gates and Huxley and Mullis and Crick. All these people are in Silicon Valley are microdosing these psychedelics. So here's one of the quotes. "It started off as an underground practice in Silicon Valley, tried by Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. It may seem like a doomed attempt to mix business and pleasure, but a growing number of young professionals in Silicon Valley insists that taking small doses of psychedelic drugs simply makes them perform better at work, becoming more creative and focused. The practice is known as microdosing. Involves taking minute quantities of drugs such as LSD, magic mushrooms, and mescaline." So here we see what's taking place. This article was just written in 2018, but the people that are in technology, that are intellectuals, that go to Stanford and all these Ivy League schools, who go and work in Silicon Valley, that create all these things within Silicon Valley that are heavy much into technological knowledge and other things and all, they're using that and they're opening up themselves to the demonic realm and they're receiving this information. So even if we go back and Jesus warns us in Matthew chapter 24, as in the days of Noah, we have to realize in the days of Noah that not just when those fallen angels or those watchers begin to descend down from the heavenlies and begin to marry human women and begin to have offspring, they begin to give mankind esoteric knowledge, forbidden knowledge, and other stuff to accelerate them to be more destructive, weapons of war, witchcraft, the things of the occult, and the use of also drugs. So that's where the beginning of it all started. And then also too, we have to look back primarily under the rule of Nimrod and his kingdom there. Primarily the use of drugs was one of the methods or one of the things that was used. So we have to really be aware of Satan's devices, especially in these last in the evil day. So we see this happening again. It's a way and method that young professionals are using us, and these are the people that are becoming billionaires and becoming powerful and other things and all. And we see that most of them have the spirit of Antichrist in them, because they're messing around with these things in the spirit world and they're thinking, oh, this is helping my creativity and all. But then it begins to open them up to things of the occult, things of the new age, things of Eastern religion and Eastern philosophy and Gnosticism and just other things and all. And they push the Bible away. They push the Word of God away. They reject the gospel and they take on this persona. So when we look at, let's look at the difference of wisdom. And we're going to look at James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter and envy and self-seeking in your hearts and do not boast and lie against the truth, the wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So we see when people in outside of Christ, and we see like these intellectuals in Silicon Valley and examples of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and all, the knowledge that they seek is self-seeking and it doesn't descend from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. So when people are taking these psychedelic drugs or going into trance meditation to inquire and get information and all, they're tapping into, they're tapping into the iniquity force, they're tapping into the kingdom of darkness, they're tapping into fallen angels and demons to get this information. And as I stated earlier, we see that within the Nazis, with Hitler, all aspects within the occult and within the science and other things and all that they begin to practice, that they begin to acquire this earthly, central, demonic knowledge. So the people of God, we have to make sure and judge our heart and make sure we're doing the right things, that when we receive wisdom, that it descends from above. And when we do receive wisdom, the children of God, we have to first make sure that it's pure, that it's peaceable, that it's gentle, that it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now we see that when we looked at the two examples of Daniel and Joseph, both individuals were pure, they were peaceable, they were gentle, they had mercy, they exhibit or they manifested good fruit. Jesus said that we know them by the fruit, by the fruit. So even within the kingdom of God, people are, I won't say the kingdom, people within church, let's say the church world, not everybody operates under this principle, because you have some people within ministry, they operate, not that they're taking psychedelic drugs and all, but through self-seeking and selfish ambition and other things and all, they acquire knowledge to build great big ministries, and it's not based on giving God and glory. And they think that God's equipping them, but the knowledge and the wisdom that they are obtaining is earthly. And then they don't watch it, it becomes sensual, because everything becomes more about money and material things and all. Eventually, with the unrepented heart of somebody that's in ministry, eventually it evolves into being demonic, and you can't even, you're so deceived into thinking that you're doing the will of God, that you're operating under the kingdom of darkness. You're more worried about material things, money, and then you begin to venture into false doctrine and other things and all, and leading people astray because you have a big platform and you're not looking at things, you're not discerning, looking at things from a spiritual perspective. So we have to keep that in mind. Very last thing, which we read at the outset, that an increase in knowledge and good and evil in the last days, which is found in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Daniel talked about knowledge increasing. We see an increase, not just we examine that within the kingdom of darkness, there's an increase in devilish demonic wisdom with microdosing and just other things that people are diving into. But we see an increase in knowledge of good within the Word of God, other things and all. We see that some of the Dead Sea Scrolls are being translated and confirming the Bible and some other things and all. Other things are going. So as believers in Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, within the kingdom of God, we have to be really full of the Spirit of God and really yield to the Spirit to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit into all truth and not be led astray and not get caught up in the world and not get caught up, as they say, with the Joneses trying to have a level of success, but let our success rest in God. And we have to be good stewards of what God gives us. But there is definitely an explosion of knowledge and it's going leaps and bounds. And we just have to be aware of the wiles of the devil in these last and evil days and be spiritually woke. God bless. This is the End Time Show for our End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. Have a blessed day.